Morning, church.
Morning.
It's been an incredible last 3 days. I know we've cheered for them, but I just need to thank those who put Friday night on. People don't believe this, but it's really true. I had very, very little of anything to do with that. And Jill and Amy and your team, awesome. And you know how proud I am of you as people. Do you know how many conversations took place with the staff at the Richmond Hill Center for the Performing Arts? And do you know how many, how word drifted back to me about how you handled yourselves and how you treated people who are serving you with dignity? It caused them to think and ask questions. And I'm just so proud of this church. Friday night was something. On Friday during the day, I went on a drive. It was a beautiful day. And I visited every place that we'd been gathering as a church. I drove to every location. And I stopped out in front, said a little prayer, and I thanked God. It was really quite a fascinating journey. It took longer than I thought because actually there were more places than we thought we had used. Friday night, we looked at Behold in Act 1 at the Richmond Hill Center for the Performing Arts. For those who weren't there, I'm not going to give you that whole talk. However, I will say this. To behold means more than to merely see with your eyes. It means to call attention to something, to think about it, to take action upon it, and then to respond, to notice, to see with your spirit, not just your physical eyes. When the scripture calls us to behold and challenges us, he's calling us to more than just seeing with our eyes. We looked at this incredible verse together in Psalm 66, verse 5. And it was our theme, come and behold what God has done. We looked at many different highlights that gave us opportunity to behold what God has done. We beheld God's plan to start the church, and I won't recount that this morning, but the miracle of how we began. We beheld God's redeeming, sanctifying work in the lives of people. If I wish I could say, I can't tell you all of the battles, all of the things privately that I have had the opportunity to listen to, that Scott and Heather and others at Celebrate Recovery have had the opportunity and the sacred privilege to listen to as people have opened up their hearts. And to just think of all of the life transformation, the people that have come to Christ, over 500 people baptized through Summit's ministry. And I think of what God has done in the hearts of people when we stand back and we behold what God has done. We behold God's work not only in people, but through people. And we celebrated all kinds of things that God has been doing in and through our church, our people. We had opportunity to behold how we serve. We had opportunity to behold the faithfulness of God in providing for this church over all the years. We had opportunity to behold God's faithfulness by strengthening us in the grind of being a mobile church. And actually, it was a little more. Did the math. Went through every single file I had about this church. It's been an incredible couple of weeks. I read every single file that I have ever established that had connection with the start and the preparation of this church. Files about salvations and baptisms and life changes and all kinds of things. Challenges, ups and downs. There were 1,235 services, setups and teardowns and sermons preached. And as you learned on Sunday or on Friday night, I was not the longest preacher. That record is for our executive pastor. I was also, for the record, I was sick at home watching online when the longest service in the history of this church took place. I think you got out, I think it was 5 to 12, or 5 after 12, 5 to 12, something like that. And I was in bed watching. 7 different locations for services for Sunday mornings, including the hub at Bayview. 4 different ones for new community service. 5 different training and workshops locations. 9 different places for baptisms. We beheld what God did and his encouraging love among us and through his ministry. 20 years to behold. It's good to remember if we reflect. It's good to remember to behold what God has done. It's not good to remember so we could go back there. So for this morning, some more behold verses. And in Isaiah 43, the prophet said this, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I am doing a new thing." God is the most innovative person in the universe. He is always ahead of us, beckoning us to follow him into new territory to do new things. Now, I'm going to get to what that might look like with our vision, but I just want to note first, as I look at this verse, there's 2 phrases there that give me great hope, and as I meditated on them this week, I got great encouragement, and the first one was to make a way in the wilderness. And you know our journey trying to get land and build a first church home, and I believe that this is the year. God is doing a new thing, and he's going to make a way in the wilderness for us. And then he says, "And I will make rivers in the desert." This is speaking of Jesus' refreshing and powerful work through his Holy Spirit in the spiritual desert of York region. All through the Bible, he uses this illustration of waters and river. We've looked at that. We've built sermons around that. So let's see what God's doing, how he's using a new thing in our vision. So, for example, our vision statement is to become a family of loving communities that intentionally follows Jesus and sacrificially expresses his transforming presence in our world. You see, the river of God's Holy Spirit is infusing our vision in brand new ways. And I want to look at a few of those and then wrap us up with a challenge. The first thing is we're becoming a family of loving communities. It's actually happening. And how he's fulfilling that is this. He is bringing the nations. We learned on Friday that we started the church with 3 people from 3 different countries, basically. It was vanilla church. And after a while, vanilla gets boring. And God's plan has never been for vanilla only. And I celebrate what God's doing. And I love what God is doing. And he is making Summit a community of the nations. A loving community where God is growing his family from every tribe, tongue, and nation. You see, it was God's dream from the beginning. From Abraham's first call, it was never God's dream to only bless the nation of Israel. He did so that through them, he would bless every nation of the world. And then now through the church, the body of Christ in the world, all who are turning to Christ, who are trusting Jesus, are being adopted into the family of God from every people group, every tribe and nation on the planet. That is God's plan. That's his will. That's his desire. And if we are out of step with that in this region, friends, we will become obsolete. We did a whole 7 months through the book of Revelation. expositionally. Do you remember that? How many people are still ticked off at me for that? It's okay, you can still believe in your rapture if you want to. But what we learned in Revelation is this, that actually the scenes that we see in chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, and on actually are taking place now. And here's what we see right now in the dimension, if we could just pull it back into a new dimension right here. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And after this I looked, and what's the word?
Behold.
He saw it and it blew him away. A great multitude that no one could number. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Friends, this is what is happening at this moment in the heavenly dimension. People from every tribe and nation. As we worship today, we read in Revelation chapter 4 that actually we get to join the festal gathering. Because the veil between the heavenly dimension and us is not as distant and thick as it seems. And we join our voices with theirs in the worship of the Lamb. And that's amazing. And just like this room, it was filled with all tribes and nations. Yes, we're becoming a family of loving communities of the nations and of groups and teams. We are going to see life group ministry and triads. We're going to see groups and teams of people flourish more and more. Age groups, mission teams, life stage groups, all becoming loving communities. Every community within this church bears the wonderful privilege of loving one another as Christ loved the church. Groups and teams, services. Friends, I think a new thing that we are seeing Jesus, he might be nudging us towards, is to create perhaps another opportunity for more people to encounter the love and the truth of Christ. Those who work shifts, those who cannot attend, some that attend for various reasons. While there's lots of details to iron out, and with a commitment to not overburden anyone in our church, we've begun thinking about possible times and locations, and we will invite you as a congregation into this process. The fact of the matter is, look around the room. Even more so sometimes, look at the parking lot. We will not be able to fit. And so we have some choices. We can either just stop, level it out, and sorry, there's no more room for you, or we can do some things to provide other opportunities until our facility is built. And I'm just, for those that are shaking in their boots right now, I hear you, and I feel it. But we want to make sure that we don't move into these things without good and sustainable plans. But if there is another service opportunity on the horizon, know this, it will continue the loving DNA that we experience in this service. And we will make the deep commitment to the continuation of our loving community in that serving as well, because it's who we are. And not for a while, but we all need to own and understand this, that under the umbrella of this family, this loving family of communities, will include sites. What do we mean by sites? We mean other church plants, other summits around the region. Our elders made a wise decision that they wanted to see Summit Central, the mom, if you will, at, you know, in their first home, settled, strong. But make no mistake, Summit, the vision has never been for that one building. God wants to make us a family of loving communities that'll stay very connected. And I just wanted to bring that before us. This, when this occurs, there will be times and opportunities for us to send some of you. And you'll get to do this all over again. Isn't that fun? Listen to the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's another way. And we, oh, sorry, where am I here? Groups, teams, and services. But also, we're going to see how Christ is going to strengthen us and develop us. And we get to behold a whole new aspect. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, not only are we becoming a family of loving communities, but we are intentionally following Christ. And we're seeing this in the transformation into His Christ, into His likeness. We will lean more into this as we flesh out our whole plan for discipling people. We are going to trust Jesus, that He is going to work in us and through us, and that we are going to be transformed for the continued renewal through the Holy Spirit, for new experiences of His presence, to be increasingly transformed into the Jesus character and thoughts and His affections. Renewal will be a part of our future, friends. God is doing something across this country called Canada. It is cutting through denominations. God's Spirit is on the move, and the churches who are open and listening to the voice of the Spirit of God are engaging, and God is beginning to do things in this country that we in churches have never seen Him do before, or not for a very, very long time. God is renewing His church. I was at a luncheon recently, and I was down, way down past the Gardner out on the past the 427 at a place. A united church, hear me, a united church in Toronto. And I have a brand new friend. Her name is Connie Denbach. And Connie is a united church minister, redeemed by Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, bringing renewal to her church. And she hosted 50 of us. God is doing something in Reformed churches in Western Canada, in the Christian and Missionary Alliance across the country. He is working in Mennonite Brethren churches, EMCC churches. He is working even in Pentecostal churches who forgot they were Pentecostal. God is on the move, and He is renewing His church. And in case we don't get all freaked out about that, what I'm talking about is that God is bringing churches back to the fundamental essentials, the historic practices of the church that have forever brought renewal and strength. Living in repentance and confession of sin. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Listening to the voice of God. Praying and seeking His face together, taking risks for Him, living with eyes to heaven and eternity, not on the here and now, seeing that the Spirit of God uses people and they find their spiritual gifts and use them. Oh, I could go on about the fundamentals. They are nothing. They are found in the pages of Scripture. And we went on this trip as a church, so many churches all around, and they've neglected the fundamental basic things through which God has continued to build and grow His church. It's exciting. So when we host a Set Free, note, it's just in line with what God has done in the centuries. Confess your sin one to another that you might be healed. Pray for one another Oh, I am excited about what God's doing as we intentionally follow Him in renewal. And we are going to behold the new things that God is doing in releasing His power in His church. He's given us His authority and His Holy Spirit. And it's time. Jesus is waking this church up. He's waking churches up across the country to be about His ministry and His mission with renewed vigor. And then He is infusing us in sacrificially expressing His presence in our world. We will behold God's faithfulness and His work among us, just like we did in the first 20 years. We are going to see Him at work in us. We are going to have opportunity for greater sacrifice, greater engagement, more meaningful work, and we're going to see increased lives changed as we do so. The last 20 years have actually not only filled us with gratitude, but you know another incredible purpose for the last 20 years? Beholding what God has done in the past gives us great confidence to trust Him in the next run of opportunities and challenges. Because every circumstance, behold His faithfulness, becomes another rock in the faith foundation from which we launch into our future together. When we saw God do things that we could not do in our own strength, it was another rock, another pillar, building this safe and strong foundation upon which we are going to launch into the next 20 years. God has always called His people to think back, as to look and remember. Tell your kids why. We set up pillars when we came out of the Jordan River. Why? And put them up there. Tell your kids, because this is what God did. How He delivered them out of impossible situations. It wasn't just so they'd know stories and history. No, it was to fuel their faith as they went into the promised land. And in the promised land, the first thing they faced was what? Jericho. Our launching into the future is not going to be smooth riding. It is going to take faith unlike we've never seen before. But we have built 20 years of stones, foundation upon which to step and launch into our future. And if God, what God is leading to us seems overwhelming or undoable, we just need to look back and to strengthen us for His glorious cause He's calling to us. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that it cannot hear." Do you believe that? Was that just words somebody wrote? God has not lost one ounce of strength, nor has His hearing gone bad, unlike mine. He is as capable to do what seems improbable and impossible today as the day we read about it in the Old Testament or the New Testament church. His helping hand still reaches our time zone and our postal code. He is not locked up in a time warp in some biblical era. No, He is fully present, hearing every whispered prayer, every believing thought, and He has given us authority and shares His power to accomplish His purposes. If you were there Friday night, you heard our president. And I sat at my kitchen table yesterday and I listened to this thing a number of times. And there were statements in what he said that just grabbed my heart. As member, after he laid a foundation where he told us all about the power and the authority that Christ has given to us as His church, and then he looked in the camera and he said, "Summit, I'm going to dare you, be fearless. Be filled with a holy boldness. And may the dreams that God has given you become a reality, the incredible gracious outpouring of God's love." And then he said to us this is your time. embrace it. Inside my heart was just coming through my throat. I sat at my kitchen table. I wanted to stand up on a chair and say, I'm in. So the question is, how do we move from behold to breakthrough? Because if you're at our annual meeting of the membership, you understand that God has given to our staff and some elders, the word breakthrough kept coming. The word, this is the word, breakthrough. And we believe that this is the year, 2020 is our breakthrough year. In many different ways. But how do we move from behold to breakthrough? There's tons of ways. I'm only going to tell you two this morning. I want to call you to this. Moving from behold to breakthrough is going to require first that we offer bolder prayers of faith. Bolder prayers of faith. Praying for God to do what we cannot do if He doesn't come through. Do you know we have a history in the DNA of Summit? You trace it all the way back through Bayview Glen, all the way back through to Avenue Road Alliance Church. There was a pastor of that church, our grandfather, if you will, who wrote many books and preached. He wasn't a great preacher, but what he taught, his content was phenomenal. A.W. Tozer pastored the church. He's our church grandfather, if you will. And Tozer said this, don't mock God by asking Him for things you can do without Him. And I shudder to think how many prayers I've prayed when actually we probably could have done it without Him. Church, if we're going to move from beholding to breakthrough in new ground in this era in the 2019 and 2020, we need a whole new way to pray. Bolder. Asking for impossible. And then in response to these prayers, secondly, we got to take bigger risks in faith. Bolder prayers of faith, bigger risks in faith. Christ is calling us as a church to stretch, to move into uncharted waters. Never, never, church, would you? Never start with all of the objections and the reasons why you can't. Too many churches have failed to do what God's called them to do because you know what the first things they listen to? That can't be done. How much is it going to cost? Who's going to do it? If you start with those questions, we will never accomplish anything greater than we've already got. Ever. We always start by listening to the Spirit of God. What is it you're asking us? We always start then by imagining as He sanctifies our imagination and opens up our vision to see what He could do. Summit, I pray that you would trust the Holy Spirit to make you like Joshua and Caleb. Not like the 12, the other 10 spies. God's calling us to something better than this, more influential than this, deeper than this, with more servanthood and sacrifice than we can imagine right now. And God in His grace doesn't let us see it yet. Somebody asked me, would you do it all again? I said, if I had known all that was coming, I would have stayed in the Okanagan Valley. But I was just dumb enough to respond to his first step. I've always said this, whether it was in giving money or anything, I would never ask you to do something I wasn't willing to do. I walked away from some of the greatest friends I had on the face of the planet, in the most beautiful location, to move to the jungle. I stuck around here when you don't know how many times I could have walked away. How many offers to go to this nice church or that one? Why? Because there is a dream that God has given us. Of families like crazy in this region, with marriages put back together that are blown apart, where people struggling with hurts and bondages and hang-ups are going to be brought into wholeness and healing and deliverance, where there are things of injustice right under our nose in this region, that if we knew the half of it would make us physically sick. I think God wants to call us to be involved in turning the tide in some of this. There's poor to be helped. There are records of people taking their lives. And every study after study you look at almost says that most churches are doing this. People are dying for love. And it's not just here in Richmond Hill, but there's places all over York region and beyond that need a community like this, that actually will live the life that Christ calls them to and will be used by him to see transformation of human hearts and lives all over the place. And that gets me up in the morning. I want to see the power of God at work, and I'm going to see it. And so are many of you in this room, because you believe. And we are going to pray bolder prayers than ever. And we are going to take bigger risks than ever. Because the tendency right now is play safe. Don't rock the boat. Don't lose what you've gained. I am not playing not to lose. I've watched the Leafs do that for 35 years. I'm going to play to win. So friends, I want to look back in years now from this point forward. And behold, seeing God do things that on this side we never could have imagined. Who said it's impossible? So, we've celebrated 20 years. But existence is never the goal. I look forward to what he's going to do in the future. I call you, church, to join me, to give your one and only life to the furthering of the kingdom of God. What else are you going to do? Watch yet another series on Netflix? Engage in some other trivial pursuit? Or you can get involved in the most significant thing in eternity, the expansion of the kingdom of God through his church. That is what I believe he has for each one of us. So, I've forgotten what's on the order, so I'm going to pray. Thank you, Amy. Yes. God, we stand thankful before you. It's been so sweet. Not that it's not been without pain, but the soul satisfaction to see a beachhead for the kingdom established, and from it, seeing people, followers of Jesus, cleverly disguised as high school students and medical personnel and teachers and marketplace leaders and homemakers and retired people, bringing the love and the grace and the truth of Christ to a world that desperately needs it. Lord, this is our hope. It's never in a politician. May you fill us to be you in our world, in our day. To that end, I pray, come, Holy Spirit, and fill these people. Make us, O God, make us a force that the gates of hell itself will have to reckon with as we break through them for your honor, for your glory, for the good of people in this region and around the world. Amen.